blessing. How many of you know that Christmas time is a wonderful time? Amen. I'm thankful for Christmas time. It's a wonderful time to be preaching the gospel, to be preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. But you know what? It seems like something terrible has happened. It seems like somebody has stolen Christmas. Maybe the Grinch has stolen Christmas. But not only have they stolen Christmas, they replaced it with something far worse. Somebody has replaced Christmas with shopping. You men, give me an amen on that. It seems like that Christmas has become all about giving gifts and less about the birthday of Jesus Christ. It was the wise men who started it. Those magi from faraway lands in the east that began this tradition of giving gifts at Christmas. And friends, listen, I believe that giving gifts is a great way to express your love and your appreciation for others. But if we're not careful, we will end up right where America is today. In Jeremiah chapter 29, the prophet wrote, in verse 13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Notice that Jeremiah didn't write a single thing about finding God while shopping for gifts on Amazon. No, God said, "When you seek me and search for me with all your heart, you will find me." See, more than anything at Christmas, even today, more than anything, we still need to find Jesus. We still need to understand that wise men, wise people, still seek him. In Matthew chapter 2, we find the narrative, Matthew's narrative, about these wise men. And it begins in verse 1. Matthew says, "Now after," say after. This is after Jesus was born. This is not in the stable. This is not in the manger. This is after Jesus is born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. "Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet Micah, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.' And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.'" Now, do you think for a second that King Herod was wanting to find out where his replacement was? "And when they saw the star," verse 9, "when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house," not the stable, not the manger, "when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned, being warned by God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. How many of you like to get gifts? Be honest. Everybody. Y'all a bunch of liars. Amen. Everybody likes to get a gift every now and then. We love to get gifts, but that's partially the reason why Christmas has turned into one gigantic shopping spree. Gifts. But what do you think pleased the Lord the most? That these wise men would travel from so far away and provide him with gifts? Or that they would come seeking him, searching for him with all their heart, then finding him and bowing down and worshiping him? Which one do you think pleased God the most? Obviously, the worship. And friends, listen, there ain't a single thing wrong with the giving of gifts at Christmas time. Gift giving is intended to be an act where we imitate what God did for us in giving us a gift to provide for our salvation. But as we buy gifts for others this year, we must stay laser focused. We must stay laser focused on the real meaning of Christmas, lest we lose the real meaning of Christmas. Let us stay focused on the real meaning of Christmas and what it means for you and I. I mean, if we asked Sergeant James Taylor, Anthony Garut's brother, who is deployed right now over in the Middle East, if we asked Sergeant Taylor, hey, what do you want most for Christmas? I doubt very seriously that he would give you a list of gifts that he wants. No, I'm sure that he would tell you that what he wants most this Christmas is to be home with his pregnant wife, Shannon. To be home with his daughter, Maureen. That's what he wants the most. You see, what's most important to James is being in the presence of those he loves. And if we were to ask the thousands of children in orphanages all over the world, if we were to ask the thousands of children who have been abandoned what they want most for Christmas, I'll bet you that every one of them said, the gift I want is a real home. The gift I want is a real family. Now, we can give a great many things to those around us at Christmas time, but listen to me carefully. No thing can come close than you just being around those you love. Nothing can come close to you sharing time with those that you love. That is the most priceless gift. You see, your presence, friend, your presence is the present. Amen. Your presence is the best possible gift you could ever give somebody whom you love and treasure. And so, for that reason, I want to begin our Christmas celebration here at Bethel by suggesting three most important gifts that you could share with those whom you love this Christmas. Beginning with sharing the Lord with them. Probably the best way to begin sharing the Lord with your loved ones is to begin the habit of reading the biblical account of Jesus' birth, listen, before you open the presents. Reading some of the narrative before you open the Christmas presents. You see, so often Jesus is ignored at his own birthday. Does that make any sense to you? I mean, when Jesus looks at how you and I celebrate Christmas, I wonder if he somehow feels forgotten sometimes. What about me? I mean, we have all the trappings of a celebration. We have beautifully decorated trees. We have glimmering, sparkling, twinkling lights. We have these gorgeous, beautifully wrapped gifts. We have all these happy songs. But what about Jesus? What about Jesus? He's the reason we celebrate Christmas. What about Jesus? We need to learn to be focused on him and not on ourselves on Christmas morning. Let's be focused on Jesus and not on the boxes of gifts. We're supposed to be joyously celebrating the presence of Jesus, not the presence of presents. Amen. And you know, at this time of year, many schools in our nation now have winter break instead of Christmas break. See, they're afraid, the school board is afraid that somebody's going to get offended. Somebody's going to sue. Amen. Happy holidays is now the accepted slogan instead of Merry Christmas. But how many of you know, you might take the Christ out of Christmas, but you can't take the holy out of holidays. Right? Still there. Nativity scenes are banned on government property, for the most part. The post office sells a stamp commemorating the birth of Jesus Christ, but you know what they call it? A religious stamp. Not about the birth of Christ. It's just religious. I think that it's high time that we made it very clear that we are Christians, that we believe in Jesus Christ, and if that offends somebody, we're sorry, but that don't change the fact that we worship Jesus. We're not sorry that we worship the Lord, and we don't plan on stopping anytime soon. Let's make it perfectly clear that, listen to me, the reason, not a reason, the reason for the season is to celebrate the birth of God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, the greatest gift that you can give your kids, the greatest gift you can give your family, the greatest gift you can give your friends is sharing the presence of the Lord with them. Last week, I shared with you that from the very beginning, God gave this commandment to believers. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God said, through Moses, and these words which I command to you shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. From the very beginning, this has been the command of God for the believer. Let us make sure that our friends, that our family, that our children are celebrating the true meaning of Christmas, the birth of Jesus. But also, let's don't stop there at the birth. Let's also make sure that we're sharing that Jesus came, yes, to literally sacrifice his life for them because he loved them so much. You see, the cradle without the cross don't mean nothing. You hear me? The birth without the crucifixion doesn't mean anything for you and I. But let's go further than that. Let's share with them the story after the cemetery. You know that story, right? See, the Christmas story doesn't end with the birth, and it doesn't end with the death of Jesus. No, my friend, there's more to the story than that. If Jesus stayed dead and buried, he'd be no different than Buddha. If he stayed dead and in the grave, he'd be no different than Muhammad, Confucius, or any other religious leader. The only thing that separates us as Christians from every other religion in the world is that their leader is still buried where they died. Praise God, ours ain't. That's reason to celebrate. That's reason to celebrate. And listen to me, y'all. Our leader rose from the grave. He rose from the grave. He ascended to heaven where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And y'all, people need to know that. People need to know that. And how are they going to find out? From you. They need to know that from you. So this Christmas, give your loved ones the most amazing gift of all. In the most loving way you can muster, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the Lord. But not just that. Why not share your love with them also? If you ask a young child what they want for Christmas, do you want a brand new bicycle or do you want to spend an hour playing with your parents? Which one do you think they would say? Let's fess up. We know. They want that bicycle. Amen. That's what they might want. But which one would mean the most? Which one would mean the most? Can I tell you that your love would mean far more than any kind of tangible gift that you can buy at Walmart? I'll tell you this. 20 years after they get the bike, they won't hardly remember that thing. It's rusted and broke. But they will always remember playing with their parents until the day they die. Sadly, my most memorable Christmas as a boy was when my stepdad got very, very angry. He decided that it was time to clean out the attic on Christmas morning. As he was pulling all the stuff down, I remember that Christmas that even though he was mad as a hornet, all I wanted to do was spend time in his presence. I just wanted to be around him. And as I attempted to help in cleaning out the attic on Christmas morning, I wasn't thinking about gifts. I wasn't thinking about stockings, and I wasn't thinking about playing. All I wanted to do was be in his presence. In 1 John 3:18, we read, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue. Let us love in deed and in truth." That means, hey, don't just tell me you love me. Show me you love me. Give your family the wonderful presence of your love. I read another story of a family who were on their way to grandma's house for Christmas. Little boy and his little sister were told, "You be sure to wipe your feet before you go into grandma's house because grandma just got brand new carpet." Well, the children did exactly as they were told. And then grandma decides that she's going to give them some Kool-Aid. That's a recipe for disaster, right? Anyway, as you would guess, the little boy took his Kool-Aid into the living room and promptly spilled red Kool-Aid on that light beige carpet. He immediately knelt down and was trying to wipe it up with his shirt tail. He wasn't coming out. And so he just sat down right there in the middle of that puddle, and he began to cry. And grandma came around, and she wrapped her arms around her grandson, and he said, "That's okay, honey, don't cry. Grandma will get you another glass of Kool-Aid." Grandma wasn't worried about that carpet. She's only worried about what her grandson needed. See, that's how you show true love to people. That's how you show true love to someone, by really caring what they are going through. God saw what we were going through. God saw where you and I were headed without him. He saw where we were headed, and God cared enough not to say something, but to do something about it. And in love, the God creator of the universe stepped down out of glory into the dirt of earth and sacrificed himself for us. That's love. That's love. See, most people don't come to the Lord by themselves. It seems that most people who come to faith in Jesus Christ do so because somebody cared for them. Somebody cared about their lostness. Somebody cared about their eternal destination. Somebody cared enough, was willing enough to introduce them to Jesus, who would spare them from that eternal destination. Somebody was willing to lead them into a relationship with Jesus. This Christmas, why don't we determine that we're going to care enough about others? That we're going to care enough about our children and our family members and our circle of friends. We're going to care enough about other people to, yes, share the Lord with them, but also to share our love with them. Because we want to spend eternity with them. But a final thing that we can share comes on the coattails of that, and that is we need to share our faith with them. That's where the rubber hits the road. That's the practicality of sharing our love and sharing our faith with them. I know that many of you are sitting here thinking, hey man, I don't think there's any way that I could share the story of Jesus with somebody, much less share how they can get to the foot of the cross. I can't do that. But I'm going to tell you something that may really surprise you. Just because you sit here on Sunday mornings, just because you attend Bible study, if you do, you have picked up more knowledge than what 80% of American people know about Jesus and the way to get eternal life. 80%. You see, it said that 20% of Americans attend church every Sunday. And because they attend church every Sunday, they're exposed to what God's word says. They might not retain it. They may not remember it. They may not be able to articulate it into words. But they're exposed to it. And it makes you wonder how many of the 80% that aren't attending, how much they really know about the birth story of Jesus. They only know what they find in the cartoons. They only know what the world tells them about the birth of Christ. My point is this. Listen carefully, friend. You got information they need. You have information that most people don't have. These people need you. These people desperately need you. They desperately need to hear from you about what you've learned from God's word. They need to know about Jesus, not just from a book. You can't just give them a Bible and say, here, read it. They need to know more than just about what is read in the book. They need to know from a person. They need to know from a person who has genuinely experienced a relationship with Jesus Christ. They need to hear from you. The only decision that remains is, do you care enough about somebody else to share that information with them? We have to examine ourselves sometimes, don't we? Do I even care enough to share Jesus with them? See, to share our faith requires a number of things, but they're all simple. To lead someone to faith, it's going to require that you first lead by illustration. How many of you know that kids will not do everything you tell them to do? However, most kids will eventually do everything you do. What's the point? As our children grow up and mature, they start following our example more and more and more and more when we lead by illustration. So, should you go to church every Sunday? You may not want to participate in every worship service, but can I challenge you that for your benefit and for those whom you're raising, you need to. We all need this fellowship. We all need this worship opportunity. We all need to do it together. So yeah, you need to. Amen? We need to. I need to. But not only should we lead by illustration, we should also lead by instruction. See, it may very well be worthwhile for you to bow up and tell a friend or a family member, you need to go to church. You need it. You need to go to church. Plain and simple. You need to go. You need it. I know that sounds oversimplified. Why do they need it? Because every single creation of God, every single human being desperately needs godly instruction in their lives. Not one of us doesn't. We all need that kind of instruction. And you may be surprised one day to find out, a few months after you tell somebody, you got to go to church, buddy, that they go. And if you say it with love, and if you say it with conviction, and if you say, hey, you can sit with me, now you've made a difference in your leading by instruction. But not only by illustration and instruction, but let us also lead by intercession. Intercession, plainly defined, is this: praying to the Lord for somebody else's sake. That's what intercessory prayer is. That's what intercession is. When you bring another person into your conversation with God, not for your benefit, but for their benefit, that is intercession. Praying for somebody else. Friend, when is the last time that you brought an individual family member's name up before God on the throne in your prayer? When's the last time that you asked God to help them for their sake? When was the last time that you cared enough for a friend to genuinely pray to God? Not for you, but for them. Christmas time, y'all, can be a hard time for a lot of people. Christmas often comes with its own set of demands on our finances and on our time, on our anxiety level, right? But we must keep our eyes on the prize. We must keep our eyes on the reason that we celebrate Christmas. One last story and I'll close. This lady was having a very, very hectic day shopping. And as she pushed the button for the elevator to go up to the second floor of the department store, she was wiped out, y'all. Exhausted, frazzled. And finally, the elevator door opens, And she looks in it, it was so packed, it was like sardines in there. So she squeezes in the elevator and press two. And after they started on their way up to the next floor, that lady said, whoever started this whole Christmas thing should be hung. And from the back of the elevator, a voice said, don't worry, lady, he already was. From that point to the next floor, not a sound was made. Not a sound. This year, listen to me, go ahead and go shopping. Go ahead and purchase gifts to share with one another. Give gifts. Just do so without losing your focus on Jesus. We got to keep our eyes on the prize. Because if we don't, who will? In order to do that, we're going to need to learn to celebrate Christmas by sharing those three gifts with our loved ones. To share the Lord with them. To let people know, hey, Jesus loves you. To share your love with them. Don't be shy. Tell them, I love you. I love you in the Lord. And if you really want to make a difference, if you really want to be an instrument by which God changes someone else's life, then share your faith with them. See, love is far more than just a thought. It's more than just an emotion. Love is an action. And if you really love people like you say you love people because God tells you to love people, then you're going to share with them. You're going to share with them how they can come into a genuine relationship with a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He is their Savior. He is their Lord, whether they're acknowledging it or whether they're not. But the interesting thing is that he was born here at Christmas time. What a wonderful way to celebrate Christmas. Sharing the presence of Jesus. Sharing the presence of our love for other people. But don't neglect sharing your faith with them. That's the only way their lives are going to be changed. They need to hear from you. They need to hear from your heart, from your life of faith. Today, your life can be dramatically changed. In other words, you can walk out of here different than you walked in. If you don't have the relationship with Jesus Christ that you want to have, you don't have to wait a single another day. Today can be your day. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you that you saw our greatest need. You saw our greatest problem. You saw our greatest tragedy, and you provided the ultimate solution. His name is Jesus, and we celebrate his birth at Christmas time. Lord, help us to be the ones that share our Lord, that share our love, and that share our faith with them so that they would have the same eternal destination that we claim to have. Father, if there's one, yes, only one. Lord, you left the 99 to go after the one. Lord, if there's even one here today that doesn't have a relationship with you because they haven't come to faith in Christ, Lord, encourage them that during this decision time song, Lord, they can come forward, and if for nothing else, they can just come and pray. Find plenty of people who would want to pray with them. Maybe they're just carrying a burden that they didn't have any business carrying. Here is where we pray for those burdens. Lord, I ask your supernatural will to be accomplished in every one of our lives today. Lord, truly, help us to celebrate Christmas. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we would realize that wise men, that wise people still seek him. We give you praise for him today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said.